Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And welcome back. It's great to have all of you with us here on a Monday afternoon, and Matt is up next. Hey, Matt. Matt, you there? Not that Matt. Ryan in Cincinnati. Hello, Ryan.
What's up, Grim Reaper?
How are you?
I know one thing. I'm doing better than Matt Jones is after that Final Four. Have you checked on him? Is he on suicide watch?
I think he is, yes. I think he's been on that for a long time, though.
Yeah, he's probably been sitting around wearing his Jeff Shepard jersey, drinking some Jack Daniels out of a shot glass. That's what I could see old Matt handling himself right now. I mean, I don't know who took their loss harder, Matt Jones or Shane and Jim's most famous tag team victim, Clay Travis. They both got to be pretty on edge right now.
Those are two names you rarely hear in the same sentence on this program.
I wonder why. You know, speaking of Jim and Shane, is this legend and Jim rivalry getting to the point of Shane versus Bobby from Homewood? I'm a little worried about this.
The answer is no, because Shane versus Bobby, this is a rivalry from 15, 20 years ago on the show. It was more personal because they knew each other. Those guys were thrown together at times with events that we had. You've heard the famous story about their last interaction in our studio, when I thought we were on the sixth floor of a building on top of a mountain, and I was pretty sure Shane was on the verge of throwing Bobby through the window, effectively ending his life and, most important, my career.
Oh, man. I mean, man, that's nasty right there. I mean, I know there's one caller I know you would love to see Shane take on right about now. And that's your whipping boy, old Red Dog.
Oh, that Shane.
Would you even allow that fight to happen?
Would be Tyson, Mike Tyson, the first 5 years of his career. It would last about 30 seconds.
I don't know if you could even legally allow that.
No. And by the way, I mean, there are 1,000 callers to this show that could handle Red Dog.
Not true. But Shane, my God, that's just unfair.
Yeah,
that's just unfair.
It would be criminal.
Yeah. You know, back to Mac Jones, I'm wondering if they're going to allow him to drink on the job from now on after that St. Peter's loss, and seeing how it's UNC, Duke, and Kansas, this has got to be his worst nightmare.
Yeah, he's going to claim that he's a Duke fan because I think he went there, but that's not going to work in Kentucky.
Oh, God, no. He'll never. Oh, man. They'll eat him alive
there. The good news for Matt, he owns his own bar, so it's not like he has to go out and buy the alcohol.
Oh, he's probably face first on the floor after that St. Peter's game. I mean, he probably just got totally trashed, like, you know, like Sebastian Janikowski used to at Florida State. There you go, Paul. That's what I like to hear. I want you laughing.
Hey,
you're having fun on that job, aren't you?
It's hard for me to laugh with the grimness of the world.
No, it's a brutal world out there, and
we have World War III going on in Eastern Europe, and the whole country is upset that two actors slap each other.
Oh, man, what, you just never know with these people anymore. I mean, people are crazy, but to see two actors make fools of themselves.
Well,
but, you know,
Hollywood is not the real world, so I can attest to that.
Yeah, some people just live in a fantasy world, have everything handed to them, don't know what they're doing. But luckily, we got people like you who know what the heck they're doing and keep everyone straight.
I'll never make fun of somebody else's wife again, I can assure you.
Oh, goodness. Oh, God. I mean, please don't try to make fun of, like, Saban's wife. Yeah, don't make fun of any caller's wife. I mean, some of them, they might come in studio and try to go Shane and Bobby on you.
Yeah, no, as you know, Ryan, I've had a few wives come after me. The husbands don't concern me. The wives always do.
Exactly.
The last wife to come after me, I believe, was Urban Meyer's wife, Shelley. She came after me pretty hard.
Oh, God. She's a head case. Somebody tape her mouth shut, please.
No,
nobody wants to hear from her anymore.
I can't respond to that. I've been told by management to never mention her name again.
She's like Saban would say, she's poison. She's rat poison.
Stephen A. Smith and I went off on her once, somewhat because she had criticized me for something I had said. And I got a stern warning.
Oh, I remember
that one.
Oh, I remember, and Stephen A. took up for you. Remember that.
He doubled down on her. And by the way, this was before this was before the incident at the bar with Urban dancing with the younger lady.
He was doing his best Mike Price impersonation. That's what he was trying to do.
One of these days, was what, 2003. So how long ago was that? 19 years ago?
Almost 20 years, yeah.
Next year on the 20th anniversary, we should do a four-hour special on how Alabama, and a lot of you folks have never heard this story, how Alabama lost a head football coach before he ever coached a game.
Can you do the show from the hotel room that happened in?
We should do it at the bar. What was the name of that bar down in Pensacola?
Oh, yeah.
It was with an A, like Arides, Angel, or I'll think of it in a minute. But that would be such a great show on the 20th. Just say, hey, welcome, 20th anniversary. Here we are at, I think it was Arides Angel was the name of the bar. And this was where Mike Price went down.
Roll Tide. It's rolling, baby. Hey, one other thing, Paul. Yeah. Have you ever considered getting Tammy's daughter, Devin, onto the show and see if she can fill in Mama Bear's shoes?
I can assure you she could. I know. I heard from Devin not that long ago, and I feel confident that she could handle her mom's memory quite well. Hey, thanks so much, Ryan. Good to hear from you. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Reed is in Kansas. Hello, Reed.
Hello, Paul.
What's going on, buddy?
So I'm happy and I'm sad. I'm happy because KU made the Final Four, and I'm pretty sad that St. Peter's lost.
Well, I think you have to look at St. Peter's as a gift that finally expired. I think some people believe it's the greatest run in college basketball history. Now, I know some will say, well, what about George Mason? What about other runs? But there's never been
the
a
lowest
bigger
seed
underdog.
To get there, though.
Yeah, I mean, they were not there. They were double-digit, almost double-digit underdogs in every game.
Yes. So, and, yeah, that's it. So.
How big of a KU fan are you?
I mean, they're not my favorite, but, right. I mean, I won't root against them.
But you do live in the state, so.
Yeah.
Well, Reed, we got two more games to go, or three more games to go. Enjoy the moment. Thanks for the call. We are heading to a break. More of your phone calls right here at 855-242-7285. A little college football conversation with Heather Dinich right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back, and yes, it is on Wednesday, 1 p.m., Alabama's Pro Day, and you'll see some great players in Tuscaloosa. We'll have it all for you right here. And speaking of football and college football, Heather Dinich joins us. It's always great to say hello to Heather as we get ready for another season. Heather, thank you. Appreciate you being here. I know you've digging deep into a lot of things connected to college football, but everyone wonders and tries to figure out who can crash the party, and we wonder all the time. Very few ever do, but tell us what you've learned.
Well, one of the things that we wrote about was who might be one of the biggest surprises. And I thought NC State needs some attention as a dark horse, because if you look in the ACC, and as you can tell behind me, I'm in ACC country. I'm in Blacksburg right now. I was hanging out with Brent Pry at Virginia Tech a little bit. But in ACC country, there are high expectations for Dave Doran. This might be arguably the best team that he has coming back, and it's wide open. We don't know how good Clemson is going to be. We'll find out on October 1st when NC State and Clemson play who's going to be the true leader in terms of the Atlantic Division. And of course, you can't forget about Wake Forest. But nationally, no one's expecting much out of NC State. Maybe they should. Can they win the ACC? That's obviously the first step.
Yeah, I don't want to be a hater on NC State because their program is pretty phenomenal. But it just seems like every time that program gets close to just breaking the door down, they blow a game. Last year, the perfect example. They've got one of the best players. They may have the best player in the draft, according to some of the experts that we have spoken to. But what makes you think they can get over the hump? I know you said surprise team. There's a difference, I'm sure.
No, you're true. Well, look, that's something that they have to prove, because you're 100% right, whether or not they can actually do that. Paul, I'm a little bit concerned right now because the lights in this room are slowly going off. So if I go into the dark, that means NC State has absolutely no shot and everything I said goes out the window, right? True story. But one of the things I think is the fact that Clemson is not the Clemson that we're used to. They have a lot of staff changes. So to me, when I look at the ACC, and I'm talking about the Atlantic Division right now, because right. I think Pitt, and I've spoken to Pat Narduzzi last week, is a very good team. He's doing a lot with a little there, and that's not a knock on Pitt. It's just a fact that they're not getting a lot of the same players as the Alabamas and Ohio States of the world, right? So I think the ACC is just wide open, and this is their chance, if they can do it, to knock the door down, because they have the talent in place.
Can't those ACC schools pay the light bill? Anyway, I didn't mean to get into that. Heather, you're at Virginia Tech. I am curious, though, because that's a program that I think all of us would have bet incorrectly on Justin Fuente, who followed Beamer, and now a new leadership in charge. What is your sense on that campus, which loves college football, had a big upset at the beginning of the last season but couldn't finish the deal?
He has a lot of work to do. He knows that. And so much of it has to do with recruiting. And we talked a lot about that in his office upstairs. And it's just the fact that they've got to recruit here within a 5-hour radius. And I think that started to fall off the radar a little bit here at Virginia Tech. He wants to bring it back. I mean, this is a guy, Brent Pry, who really cut his teeth here in Blacksburg. He worked under former defensive coordinator Bud Foster. He knows the school. He's passionate about it. He knows what it can be. I mean, when you turn in here, you turn on Beamer Way, right? There is a lot of history and tradition, and quite frankly, one of the reasons I haven't been here in a while is because they haven't been not only in the national picture but the playoff picture. And so he wants to get this back to where that was and reestablish its prominence. You know, he told me that they haven't been to Michael Vick's high school in a long time. So those are the kind of bonds that they need to reestablish with recruits and ties within the area. And so it's a lot of work, a rebuilding process, but his expectations are high that ultimately they'll be able to get there.
Heather, we know the big names, and we talk about that all the time with you, but as you comb the country this time of the year, you mentioned NC State. What other teams intrigue you out there?
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I'm very curious about Utah and the Pac-12. You know, everybody's entranced by the shiny object at USC, and I get it. Lincoln Riley's going to make a difference out there eventually. This year, I'm not so sure if it's going to happen immediately, but I think that, to be fair, the attention should be on Utah. I talked to Kyle Whittingham. He's a veteran coach in that league, and he told me that 70 of his scholarship players are going to be underclassmen. And, Paul, you watched that Rose Bowl. It didn't come out the way Utah would have liked. But, man, what effort, what heart, and that certainly carries over. So I think Utah-USC is going to be one of the biggest games of the year. And, of course, how do all the other new coaches do? I mean, looking at Florida and LSU, throughout the SEC, a lot of turnover. I think those are going to be interesting programs to watch as well. And, of course, Notre Dame, right? How do they do in the Freeman era? Young coach, expected to win a national title right away. Is that fair? I'm not sure. Are the pieces in place? He made some really good hires, and especially with defensive coordinator Al Golden coming in, I think that they've got a really good defense to build on. So there are a lot of storylines throughout college football, a lot of teams to watch and pay attention to. But look, I've got Ohio State number one preseason, and at the end of the day, I think we're circling back to a lot of the same names.
I'm tempted to really push you on that, but it is only late March, so there is time. But what do you see about Ohio State that would intrigue you more than the obvious Alabama?
Alabama, that's a good one too. You can really certainly make the case for Alabama. It's a coin toss. The reason I like Ohio State, I'm going to go back to that Rose Bowl and the way they won that game without so many of the players that were missing in that game, and then the hire of Jim Knowles. And back to your previous question, when I mentioned Utah, Oklahoma State is another one to watch. But the reason I mentioned Utah ahead of them is because Oklahoma State and Mike Gundy lost Knowles to Ohio State, which is one of the best, albeit probably one of the quietest hires of this offseason. And so that was one of the question marks Ohio State had last year, was defensively. I think they answered it with him.
Breaking news across Twitter. Heather Denich picked someone other than Alabama to win the national championship. Heather, let me ask you about a question that we talk about here obsessively, and it's NIL. And I know you talk to many, many coaches for the record, but particularly privately when they're sharing things with you. What's the level of concern about getting this and the transfer portal right, assuming they can ever get it right?
There's a lot of concern. And I mentioned that I spoke with Pat Narduzzi at Pitt. Last week I talked to him, and one of the questions I asked him that led to this deeper conversation was about the college football playoff, because I said, you guys would have been in it. Why are the ACC coaches against expansion? And he pointed to Commissioner Jim Phillips' points about these other things need to be fixed in college football. And he talked about name, image, and likeness. And he talked about more rules for that to help coaches navigate their way through it. And the compliance office as well. But another point that he brought up was the number of scholarships. And he said, look, if you're going to ask the players to play more games, increase the number of scholarships. Why can't it be 90 scholarships, 95? And so there are these other issues that the coaches, particularly in the ACC, are raising their hands and saying, hey, we've got to figure this out. And he gave a lot of credit to Jim Phillips, who has taken a lot of heat for putting the brakes on playoff expansion.
Speaking of that, there's no plan. We've heard that. We've read that. So what's next with the CFP?
Next is their usual spring meetings at the end of April. I will be out there for that. And that's going to be the question, is what are you guys going to do now? Are we looking at 2025? I mean, the most immediate concern is to name the final two sites for the last 2 years of this current contract. ESPN has reported Las Vegas and I believe Miami are in consideration. Nothing is definitive yet. But, yeah, they've got to turn the page. And they're not on the same page. So you've got some people like Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby saying, I have serious doubts that this is going to happen. And you have other folks like Jack Swarbrick, the Notre Dame athletic director, who told me nobody in this room has said they don't want expansion. We just couldn't figure out how to do it right now.
Heather Dinich from Blacksburg, a place we've never spoken to her from, but you look great with the backdrop there. Heather, thanks for coming on. I know you got a lot going on there. We appreciate you making time.
Thanks, Paul.
We'll talk to Heather soon as college football spring version starts to heat up. We are heading toward the break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. It's great to have you here. And Daryl is up next.
What's going on, Paul?
Daryl.
If I tell a joke, you're not going to slap me, are you?
But I might.
You know, I can't help but wonder what if that would have been. If that would have been Dwayne Johnson saying that, you think Will Smith would have walked up there and slapped him?
I doubt it sincerely.
I doubt it sincerely, too. You know what I mean? So if you want to impress somebody, Will Smith, I'm going to do it with The Rock up there. I'm going to go over there and Chris Rock. I'm going to give me a – I'm not talking about The Rock, not Chris Rock. You know what I'm talking about. But, I mean, good Lord. Way to set the example. I mean, the guy needs to learn how to take a joke. Paul, I heard you had a little bracket thing going on the show.
Yeah, you lost.
I got beat out by Jerome.
Jerome really? Knocked you out.
You know what? I'm glad Jerome can beat me on the Feinbaum Show because he sure can't beat me on the football field. You know what I mean? Where it counts. Oh, speaking of Oscars, Paul, when are you going to win an Oscar?
You have to be in a movie first.
At minimum, an ESPY. They still give the ESPYs out?
They do, yes.
Well, I mean, today they need to give one out for best sports talk show. You know you'd win it.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, they really. Under, I mean, I'm being serious about this. They should really do that.
We've done a poor job of winning awards on this show. I agree.
Well, I mean, I believe you would win it though. And I think I'm being serious about this. They should give an ESPY for the top sports radio show in the country. I didn't say in the South. I said in the country. Paul, I heard Kirby talking the other day, and he was talking about somebody was asking. You know, they give Ringo all the praise for the interception, say that was the biggest play in the game against Alabama. Do you think that was the biggest play in the game, your opinion?
No, I mean, I think the game was pretty much over at that point. I didn't expect Alabama to win on that drive.
I don't think you can, but a game like that, I don't think you can point out one play and say that was a play. There was a lot of big plays in that game. I tell you what, the stops in the red zone, forcing the field goals,
I believe that was more important.
Nothing bigger than that, you know?
It stopped Alabama's momentum, Alabama's offense just did not have a lot of confidence.
Kirby said, we weren't going anywhere, that he almost beat Nick with Rick's boys. You know what I mean? He almost did. He said, we ain't going anywhere. He said, give me time. Let me get my boys in here. We will beat Alabama. We will end the 41-year drought. And hey, that's exactly what it is. Paul, switch your gears here real quick. The Final Four, who you like?
I'm torn between Duke and Kansas. I'll let you know later in the week.
I would love to see Coach K go out on top. I mean, I could think of nothing finer.
Oh, there's no doubt than that I'm pulling for Coach K. I mean, I wouldn't pull for Bill Self.
I became a Duke fan back in 91 when Leitner hit the shot to beat Kentucky, the greatest college basketball game I've ever watched in my life. It was a great game. And ever since then, I've been on the Duke bandwagon, and I'm still riding this thing. But I tell you what, Coach K, I mean, the way he's ran that program all these years, kept it out of trouble, never heard anything bad about Duke. I mean, just an absolute – he's going to be missed. Just an absolute amazing job at Duke. Paul, who ended up winning the bracket thing?
Legend.
Legend and who? Who was the final?
The Final Four was Legend, Jim, I-Man, and who was the other one? Squirrel. And then Legend beat I-Man in the finals.
I want to recount. No way Jim from Tuscaloosa lost. You know what I mean? Yeah, we got to have a recount, Paul. We got to have a recount. Or you got people voting that really shouldn't be voting.
Daryl,
it
wasn't even close. Jim got skunked.
Wow, dang.
Jim got slapped down.
Jim got slapped down. Yeah, pretty bad, it sounds like. Well, I'm glad Legend won. Good for him. You know what I mean? Good for him. But don't forget Legend. Don't forget who is still on top of the college football world. We'll be starting in about 4 months. Number one. We won't have to be number one, but we will be before the season's over.
I'm glad to know, Darryl, that you are taking the victory with your normal, humble self.
Paul, we are still partying down here. 41 years took down Saban. Took down Alabama. Go Dogs. See you, Paul.
I wonder, you think any Alabama fan will respond to that? I doubt it. I cannot imagine. Mac is up next. Hello, Mac.
This is Mac, I think.
Well, yeah, Mac, good afternoon to you.
Okay, it's the first time I've ever called you, man.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Well, I wouldn't have called you if it hadn't been for that coal miner said he made $13 an hour in West Virginia.
Yeah.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, he was working in a non-union mines.
He was?
In 2003, when they took me out of the mines down here in Alabama, I was making $25 an hour.
Whoa.
That's right. Union people, not only are union people better paid, they are also... much safer.
Hey, Mac, what's the percentage in Alabama of union versus non-union?
Union plus non-union?
Right.
And coal mining?
Yeah.
Oh, I would say probably $10 an hour.
I mean, but is that UMW or is that something else?
That's United Mine Workers.
Right, UMW.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I asked what was his name, Johnny Lewis?
Right.
Yeah, back
the head of the
long time ago, he said,
yeah,
we're going to fine you $1 million. He said, that's all right. I got a million coal miners, and they'll all give me a dollar, and I'll be a millionaire again.
Wow.
But it was nothing.
Mac, out of curiosity,
how
long were you a miner?
I was in the mines for 30 years until they took me out, and I've been cut up like a hog. I got 2 titanium plates in my back, 7 rods in my back, and I've got cut my left ear off. They put hip back on, and I've had 4 bypasses. I got a pacemaker. I've had prostate cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
But...
Hey, Mac, was that mainly in Walker County or someplace else in Alabama?
Walker County.
Right, sure.
Walker County and Jefferson County.
Yeah, I used to. The reason I bring this up, I was when I worked in at one of my jobs in Birmingham, we were in the same building as the Drummond Company, which owned a lot of those mines. So,
still own a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you know they're down there in Columbia.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they don't have no safety rights or nothing. Ain't no telling how many is dead now.
Yeah.
And people have to walk around it with rifles or shotguns, whatever they use, to be safe.
Right.
But another thing I don't call you, this happened a long time ago now.
Sure.
because I don't pay no attention to a lot of things.
Right.
But there was a text all on the bottom of your screen there. If I talk loud, it's because I'm hard of hearing and I talk loud.
You sound great.
But anyhow, there was somebody texted in from Georgia and said that it's been so many, I don't know if it's 2, 3, 4 weeks, I don't know, that we beat Alabama and said the Alabama fans were still crying. Well, I never shed a tear or lost a minute of sleep.
Right.
And I was proud from the win of a national championship. My gosh, it'd been 40 years.
It had been.
And the way he talked, it'd been 40 years since we won one, and they'd won all them national championships. But that's here and not. But I'll let you go, man.
Listen, Mac, you take care of yourself. Thanks for sharing the latest union report from the UMW. Let's talk to Michael. That's a tough union, by the way. You do not mess with the UMW, especially up in Pennsylvania. Michael is up next in North Carolina.
Hey, Paul. I've heard all these accolades coming toward Coach K.
Right.
And I just wondered, have all of you forgotten that he was the coach of that Duke team when Christian Laettner kicked that kid who was on the floor? I mean, just hauled off and kicked him is worse than a Will Smith slapping. And he could have hurt the kid. But did Coach K ever discipline
him? Was that Christian Laettner or Grayson Allen? I can't remember.
I think it was Christian Laettner. Pretty sure it was.
Okay.
I thought it was the same boy that shot that
shot
to win the
but
game.
It happened again a couple years ago
is what
I'm talking about.
Well, of course it did.
Yeah.
Well, of course it did, because that's a standard you hold your players to when you're Duke basketballing. What did Coach K ever do about that to raise the bar? I don't think that would have happened under a coach like, I say, a great man like Bear Bryant, who famously said, when you get to the end zone, you need to act like you've been there before. So I think there's a gentlemanly aspect to the game that can be lost and should be embodied by a great coach. And candidly, I don't think he's won. Your thoughts, please.
Well, Michael, I would respectfully disagree with you, and I don't claim to be an expert on Mike Krzyzewski, and I do know him. I've met him a few times, and that doesn't mean anything, but I'm just making – I can only relate to you what I've seen up close and what I've read and what I've talked to people, and I have a number of friends who have gone to Duke and played for him, and I happen to think he is a standalone coach. It doesn't mean that Dean Smith wasn't. That doesn't mean – that John Wooden wasn't. I just think that he deserves the accolades of his position. And yeah, there are always incidents with every coach, including Paul Bryant. But I don't hold that against him. I think Mike Krzyzewski has held up over the course of time, and I think he has shown great humility. He's quirky. Who isn't? You don't think Nick Saban's quirky? Let's take a break. Did I say, can you delete what I just said about Saban?
Sure.
We're coming right back. In the replay, of course.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Bob in Fort Worth is up next. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, Paul, how you doing this evening?
Bob, very well. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, I got a question that I imagine every SEC fan wants to know. How in the world does an athletic director from a school get the same vote as a conference does? Say like Greg Sankey.
Well, you're speaking of Jack Swarbrick, and first of all, he's very, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about him. He's a very prominent, respected individual.
I understand that, Paul.
And
I understand. He may be the most brilliant man in college football.
Yeah.
But that, I do not understand how one school.
Well, I'm trying to understand. There was a time, and I don't know if it's the same now with the CFP as it was in the BCS where you're right, Notre Dame was grandfathered in. The most prominent role that Swarbrick has played is that he was a member of that working committee that helped devise the college football playoff. So for that much, he wasn't in lockstep with the SEC commissioner.
Well, I didn't mean to single out Greg. I'm talking about all the committees.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I understand. I will say this about him, though, and I know this does not answer your question, but I've always found him to be very fair-minded, smart, thoughtful person. He represents Notre Dame's best interests, but I also, in fairness, I don't think the CFP helped Notre Dame very much. They were handcuffed in the original CFP expansion report.
What I'm getting at, Paul, is how does one school, and I understand they're independent.
Well, I think the better question would be this. Bob, I hear you, and I can't answer your question, but the better question is, how does the Rose Bowl still have as much sway over the sport as it does? To me, the Rose Bowl has destroyed college football, and I know that goes against everything that the Pooh Bears of the sport who wax poetic about it every year. But the Rose Bowl has done more in the last, I'd say, 10 years to curtail the expansion of the product of college football than anything else. Jeff is up next in Columbus. So hello, Jeff.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there, Jeff.
I had to call in to make sure you still had a job after the break, after you ripped on Saban like that.
Yeah, it's under review right now at the headquarters.
I mean, did your ankle bracelet go off when you said that?
It did start to tweet.
Yeah, I was afraid it might pull your jerk your Achilles or something. Hey, Paul, how about all the tap dancing and spinning we're getting today from all these national experts about Duke? My, oh, my. What 40% from three and 50% from the field will do. I mean, most of these experts had them going out to Texas Tech last week.
They sure did.
Now they got them winning it all, Paul.
I think our guy Seth Greenberg said he thinks they're going out. They're going out early. I don't like the way Duke's playing right now.
Oh yeah, they weren't tough enough inside after they got beat by UNC and Virginia Tech. They just didn't have the mentality and too much pressure from K. And it's amazing how much you make shots, how much better you are. That's what it boils down to. These teams like Duke and UNC, Kentucky, they've all got talent. It's about putting the ball in the bucket, and these guys never want to talk about that. They all want to spin it and do this and that, but I just think it's hilarious. Hey, Paul, why I really called, you've been having a lot of this conversation about the NIL and transfer portal, but nobody ever talks about who's going to oversee all this stuff. I mean, it's, to me, the most pressing question of the summer leading into the next season. Isn't the NCAA basically out of business in terms of monitoring and rule setting for college football? Am I wrong with that, or is that true?
The NCAA has no real jurisdiction over college football. They do control or have administrative and jurisdiction over postseason, meaning the bowl games. They sanction them. They don't really pick the teams. But beyond that, you're right. The NCAA, Jeff, the bigger question is, will the NCAA be in existence in 5 years? I'm here to tell you it's a close call right now.
I agree with you. And I don't know. Are there any rules right now about NIL? I mean, true rules
that carry across the board?
I don't think there are.
There are and there aren't. The reason why you can't, there's no uniformity because NIL is legislated at various state levels. Some schools are on a national plan if they don't have a state that administers. But the second one, let's say Florida makes it more liberal for players to make money, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana immediately keep up with them. Nobody's getting ahead in that because nobody's going to gain an advantage is what I'm saying. We're up against a break. We'll continue that. If you want to give us a ring, we have a line or two open right now. You can call in final hour at 855-242-7285.